Hello, I'm Amanda, and I play Gwendolyn Evangeline Clute, the Witch of the Wilds. Could Have Been Heroes is an independent podcast, so please consider joining us on Patreon and giving us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at CBHPod. Enjoy the show!
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. William Guise was sure if he really wanted to, he could have denied King Allfield's request to aid the Nearleys. The creature was mighty, and in his forest he was all-powerful. Well, not quite anymore. Still, king though he may be, the Satyr Lord expended a great deal of energy, and risked the ire of the powers themselves to keep his cache of heroes from being spirited away to battle the Glorious. William considered it a great irony that in the end it was the king of the hedonists who went to the mat to respect the wishes of those he ruled over. Though perhaps it shouldn't have. If you insist on doing what you want all the time forever, the thought of someone stealing others' will to do as they please might truly vex, might it not? The king had said to him,
William Guise, adventurer, duelist, man of chivalry and romance, scourge of the tyrant and champion of the common folk, the Guild of Heroes calls to you in an hour of great need. They have cast a spell which seeks to pull you away from the Riverwood and into battle of some kind. I will spare you this fate if you wish, as per our compact and bargain.
William graciously accepted the king's offer of protection. He did not mention that it was entirely possible that he was not at all William Guise, or not the one the king had made his bargain with. He himself did not know for sure. The earliest memory William Guise remembered was looking down at a very special cup of tea. It was part of an elaborate plan, ingenious, if he did say so himself, to hide his whereabouts, even from himself. William Guise, as the king had said, was a wandering duelist of great, some might say legendary, renown in certain lands. He led a life of swashbuckling adventure all along the coast of the second of the seven or eight seas, and left his signature slashed across the hide of the land's tyrants. Women swooned at the sight of his masked face, arose on many, many pillows. However, his notoriety became quite a liability for someone whose work was best done in secret. How can you strike from the shadows, taking the dastardly by surprise, when throngs of adoring fans follow you everywhere you go? Not to mention how difficult day-to-day life became. On top of all that, his fame reached all seven or eight of the seas, and beyond, and entreaties for his brand of swashing and buckling poured in day and night. But William, he was a problem solver. So, after much deliberation, preparation, and cogitation, he had just the solution. He franchised. But apprentices simply wouldn't do, very off-brand. So a more unique and holistic solution was procured. The tea was a very special brew. It contained William's skills, panache, techniques, and specialties. It also contained a wall to one's own personal memories, until an antidote was taken. The job was offered to young men with the appropriate physique, charisma, and jawline. It was always proposed the same. Drink this, as will I. Neither of us will be the wiser as to whether we are the real William Guise, but all of us will be him just the same. No one can find us out if we are all effectively the same man. After a 5-year tour, as me, we will return to this place and drink the antidote. Your lives will come back to you, as will a very, very heavy purse with which to return to them. I will drink just as you do, so not even I can let it slip, as I will also not remember anything before this moment. No amount of torture by the tyrants we battle could compel me, nor mind-controlling magic could force me to give you up, as I will not know you. It is dangerous to be me, but it is also wonderful and exciting and very, very lucrative. If you do not wish to be me, your loss, no insult taken, drink this other tea and forget only what I have offered you and that we ever met. So, William, if that was his real name, looked up at the King of Revels and said, "Yes, O mighty king, I accept your protection." He had no idea if the other Williams were swept away, or if they went of their own accord. He did not know how many other Williams there were, had no idea where they were, and to be fair, the king was asking him, which meant he was probably the original, didn't it? Either way, he very much enjoyed the bacchanal of the Revelwood, and very much enjoyed not going to battle the nightmare creatures called the Glorious. But the day after the king was visited by the gentleman hunter, he was shown many troubling things in his scrying pool, many troubling things, and he simply could not keep his blade sheathed any longer. He was ready to fight again. After all, he was William Guy's greatest duelist of the Second Sea, champion of the common folk, lover of many, many beautiful ladies, and a hero of the realms. Probably.
Previously on Could Have Been Heroes. The Nearlys confronted their pursuers at long last. The Abernathian survivors, after miles and miles of hardship, did not seem in agreement on whether Xanator's head should stay on its shoulders after all. Grandma Nin, the Demon V, the Hound, all are in hot pursuit. The Nearlys need to keep their eyes on the prize, the Briar Tower.
I don't want the witches to hear me.
What would happen if the witches heard you?
They would probably come and start to make me leave. And we need to have a subject of chat.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, some stuff and things. Busy little beavers, aren't you?
Okay, so unsettling.
The second I hate this, I'm screaming for the witches to come. Chase
this
your
now.
Ass off. Should I start
screaming? I've never said this before, but I mean you no harm at the present moment, if that factors in.
What do you want?
I just want to have a little chitchy-chatsy.
We'll start talking then.
Did you know that tree of long hair is trapped in the Briar Tower?
Yes.
Did you know that the Briar Witch seeks to gather 12 women of eld blood?
I think we do that.
We heard too. Mutterings, yeah. This is old. You're not telling us anything new.
Well, that's actually...
Don't want to know that. Yeah, obviously we knew that.
Did you know
Yes. That
the Glorious are involved in this plot somehow?
Well, we figured.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
And did you know that the Glorious seek to eliminate all those of heroic heart to safeguard their presence in this realm if no one can make a heroic sacrifice to push them into oblivion? They are safe. Their foothold secured.
You don't like that, do you?
I don't like that. My hunting grounds are bare. My
They're poachers.
My beautiful quarry that I have cultivated and nurtured for centuries now is stripped and poached and pride, and it makes me very angry. I have spent the last 2 weeks saving heroes from certain doom, and it makes me itchy.
Certain doom pops out.
Certain doom.
Certain doom. He has soap for him. You're itchy.
Oh my god, I love certain dudes.
Martin has like push him back in the back.
Shh, it's a really bad time for this.
I'm at a bit of a loss, but...
And then he's like petting the tent like on the other side.
I can't stop my skin collecting for a fortnight or two to save the herd, to save the flock.
So, what do you want us to do about this? It sounds like a personal problem.
I have reached out to King Allfear of the Riverwood, and I have found a secret little nugget of heroes tucked away in his paradisical forest.
Who are these heroes?
Balin the Brave, Cheska Pomrisky, Mage of Moonlight, Vorla Verl the Leaning, Calendar the Bard, heroes of some renown who thought themselves earning a retirement among the pleasures of the Riverwood.
So, let's see. Go ahead and make intellect undertakings to see how much you know about these characters. It doesn't make sense that you would know too much about them, Val, so that's just a fine fail.
Oh, there. I just rolled a 10. Plus 5 is 15.
Mm-hmm.
And if we call on things that pertain to, like, a geographic era,
area,
could that give you advantages on some of the knowledge?
Yeah, that could give you advantages on Calendar the Bard, because he is from... he is from, like, the Woodland Realms.
Yeah, so I want to call on Tree Shaded, Wild Kind, and Inquisitive.
Okay.
Which puts me up to, if I get them all, 21.
You got it.
Okay.
Calendar the Bard. Calendar the Bard is a long-eared, happy-go-lucky rabbit Bekheimer of some heroic renown. He has traveled with many...
Not the most renowned of all the rabbit cameras.
Also, Robbie wrote this so that I couldn't bully this bard.
What? No way. Totally gonna bully this bard.
It's gonna be really hard for me to bully this bard.
So Calendar the Bard, his most notable work is the Saga of the Damsels, where he followed the damsels for 2 years and
wrote a 2 year song about it.
Wrote a 2 year long,
but for the damsels.
What's that?
He's like a deadhead, but for the
damsels. Yeah, exactly. Well, he was like their resident bard, followed them on several adventures despite their protestations, and he kept just popping up where they were. And so a lot of the insight that we have into the damsels and their like great deeds, like when she of the Storm at Sea fought a kraken by combining two whirlpools. Anyway, these like legendary stories of them have a lot of them were given to us by Calendar the Bard, and then he just sort of disappeared. Apparently, he retired to the splendors of the Revelwood. Any other high rolls?
Sage, Hero's Creed, Protect the Weak.
Yep,
and Inquisitive.
Yeah, those will work. Especially
26 then.
Okay, so Cheska Pulrisky, Mage of Moonlight, is actually one of the founding members of the Starlight Sorcery Academies, one of which was in Abernathy. You actually just saw an example of that sort of starlight weave that can like slow and speed up time used earlier today. And so she's like a founder of like independent magical research. She's not like a member of the circle, but is one of the few humans to sort of like breach a whole new kind of sorcery that the circle like didn't own and didn't like own the teaching of. So she basically brought magic to the people without the money and infrastructure and attachment that they could get access to the ivory towers. And literal ivory towers in this case. And then mysteriously disappeared after a magical explosion gone awry. Apparently she used it as cover or somehow wound up in the Revelwood. Anybody else have a good one? His are quite high, so.
Yeah, I just got 17, so I don't know if that.
Yeah, I think with your with your amnesia and all that, that's probably not quite high enough. Although you maybe heard the expression Barlaam the Brave or buy one for Barlaam in the bar at the Sacred Tavern, like at the beer garden outside. So Barlaam the Brave is a no one knows what sort of species he might be, but he is a literal giant of a man standing at like 8 feet tall, ludicrous muscles. He collects tattoos from every nation that he visits, so his skin has become this insane tapestry of like different art styles and heritages all like kaleidoscoped across his skin, but he always says he has to earn them. So he does something heroic where the current culture will gift him like some of their tattoos or heritage, and he is the only adventurer in the history of Far Ital to ever outdrink a hill giant on his like by his of his own merits, and apparently he's had brew from every available tap in all the realms, and it doesn't surprise anybody that he retired to the Revelwood. Vorla Verl, the Leaning, is a famous cat burglar, thief, and heist puller.
Cool.
Who is dead. You're pretty sure he's dead. His body hangs in the high capital of Deladrodorn.
It's a Weekend at Bernie's
in
situation.
A given, yeah. Turns out, apparently, maybe he faked his death, which totally...
It's a Paul Shakur situation.
It's
oh,
a sort of...
Oh, holograms.
So apparently that might this guy may have just pulled off the perfect crime.
You did son of a bitch. I'm
no, he did.
Damn dead.
What's that? It was recent. It was within the last like 20 years or so. So it was one of Dem's big achievements. The Hound caught Vorla Verl and they brought him down and then held a trial and hung him in the gibbet until he expired. Hmm. So
what was he tried for?
Tim did that.
Yeah, we wasn't
oh,
trying.
But they just got, you know, whatever. Being a criminal, being a thievery and heistery were the two big ones.
Herstery.
You know, the Deladrodorn trials aren't like very well. Like...
It's a lot like their marriages.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they you know, yeah. You stand accused of being Vorla Verl the thief and. Like, it's sort of a general... They don't have evidence for any particular crime.
It's
so
a lawyer, Jess.
Sort of a general, you know... Okay.
Wait, no, I need to know more about how this trial went.
All right.
Who are the main witnesses?
They are on their way here to meet with you and treat with you. I hope that they can be of some assistance.
They're on their way here.
And King Allfeel himself is on his way, having recently just surrendered to the forces of the Queen of Spite. He is now one of her bannermen, but I know a secret. Allfeel has a little brother who doesn't like the excesses of the Revelwood and who fled to Thistleberry Hollow. Years past. He wears a funny wig and is a sweet boy. It would be terrible if anything had happened to him, wouldn't it? Take care. I'll be in touch.
Did you set off the alarm?
What do you mean? Well, listen.
The coven's defenses.
I don't think that I could have possibly set off the alarm. That only goes off when evil creatures of ill intent breach the defenses. So, since I'm such a nice guy, I'm sure it will be.
Okay, bye.
And then he just sort of fades away into the... His shadow sort of disappears. All right, one of the younger witches, put the one with the tattoos all over her, who's oh shit, I'm so bad at these names, whose name was Sovi, pushes the tent flap open and looks directly. She ignores everyone in the tent except for Gwen and Val.
Oh,
sisters.
Yeah.
Apparently, King Allfeel himself makes way for the Candlewood. He has an entourage in tow. He wishes to treat with the coven about recent nefarious attacks by the Glorious and what to do about it. As members of the Coven, you will be expected to join this conference.
What happens if we don't make it? Like, do we get a bad grade or, like, kicked out of the Coven? Or, like, you know, stuff happens.
There is no leaving the Coven while alive, sister.
Cool. Okay, that answers one of my questions. What if I get really sick and I'm just like, I can't go.
But you can go. You can attend, can you not?
I don't know. Like, something could happen while we're walking there.
But it doesn't. It hasn't.
Well, no, but we haven't left yet.
But you, and you won't, because you're coming to...
So I won't leave this tent.
I think it would be good if we did have a conversation with...
King. I think what she's trying to say is she'll
king
be
of revelry.
So Sophie's a very simple young woman. She's from like the barbarous lands of the north, and they're like the Danish. They're very like. But you can come, and you will come, and you are here. And so
great. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. See you soon.
So can we sit in on this meeting?
I mean, I would really like it if you did.
Dear members of the Coven, just invite them. I think that's fine.
We're just gonna bring you're our dates. We'll just couple up.
Plus one.
My first date.
Wait, you guys need plus twos each.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Melly.
I call Cambie and Loveline.
Melly Etchbridge pushes open the tent.
Were you told? Did Sophie tell you that the entourage from the Revelwood has come?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is good. Yeah, this is going to expedite things greatly.
Hope you're right.
Be prepared. We may be sallying forth to the Briar Tower by the end of the evening.
Oh,
Jesus.
We could be so lucky.
God, I took that lot of time.
I'm ready.
If you have any business to deal with in the Sacred Grove, as I know that you do, be prepared for that. It may be a stop along our way to the Briar Tower.
Cool, we're just gonna get changed.
By the way, I am honored to be sisters of the both of you.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for what you've done for Thistleberry.
Oh, well, it's no thing.
Anytime. It was not that hard.
I mean, it was.
Oh, well, then never mind. I take it back. I thought it was hard.
Well, given our near disastrous result, I would at least say that it was hard.
No, we nailed it.
A near disaster... is not a disaster, is it?
Boom.
That's my girl. That's my sister. Okay. So are we going to tell King Awful that his brother is dead?
King Awful! That's awesome.
I couldn't remember.
It's all feel.
Oh,
King all
can
feel.
You spell
I'll
that?
I'll feel
spelled
it out.
Exactly how it
I'll
sounds.
I'll feel it out when we get there.
Oh.
So we're going to ask for his help?
Yeah.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Otherwise, we got to make a deal with one of the Rumpelstiltskin brothers.
Okay. We don't want to do that.
That's much better.
The more I think about it.
Nottagaster says, poking his head out of the sack again.
All right, well, I mean, I know sometimes diplomacy and asking for things in a nice way might not be either of your strong suits.
Why are you looking at us like that?
Well, I'm just, sometimes...
What the hell are you talking
this
about?
This is coming from a place of love. You... both can
are you
be
open to feedback?
Pretty abrasive to new people.
Abrasive.
Okay, who got
abrasive?
In the coven, Martin?
Oh boy.
I just
at least
wanna...
I'm just one me.
Hey.
Whoa, getting personal.
You're right. You're right. That was too far. That was too far. I don't take it back, but it was too far.
I just think, well, maybe if we just think more flies with honey than.
His arm has childish subconsciously insults. Turned into a shovel.
His left foot is just digging a hole. Like,
we get it. We get okay. it. Don't yeah. call
He's
them names.
Saying that you're shrill.
Yeah, no, I heard.
Thanks.
But the big
He's
question.
Totally right, by the way.
I hate you so much. The big question is the one that Loveline has posed. Like, what do we do with the news about Nygod? Do we withhold?
You were his friend.
Yeah.
Use it.
Okay. I mean...
A little grumble would want it that way.
You're right, he would.
Did we have any... Did we keep any of his belongings?
We have his wig and his journal.
Somebody has his wig and his journal.
Somebody being waddling.
Someone maybe just pull the wig me. Slowly out. And
this sad, rumpled little wig that, like, fooled
with,
no
like,
one.
Someone and do some, like, Nygod drag.
It fooled Xenitar, that's fucking right. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Wait, what do you mean it was a wig? Like, everybody in town just thought he was bald and embarrassed about it. Nobody in town realized that he was a friggin' little satyr and he was, or fawn, and he was covering it up. So while the witches, who have all the power here in the situation, are... By the way, the fact that both of you have top-knot ponytails...
We're witches now!
And sitting on the same side of the table and, like...
Equally mad at Marty.
Equally mad at Andy. Martin didn't say anything.
Right,
of that.
You're right. Yeah. Martin wasn't a... Well, no, Martin was a bit of a sexist.
No,
he Martin called me so shrill.
Sexist. No, I called you shrill.
It was Martin.
That was me.
Who were you talking for Martin?
He said we could be
I
abrasive.
Can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that.
He said, quit being so cunty, please.
No,
you said
he
it
said
with
you
your
girls,
eyes.
And how do I put this delicately?
This comes from a place of
so.
Love.
This comes from a place of love.
You're
cunt,
a huge
cunt, cunty, cunt, cunty, cunts.
Okay, we get it. We'll be, like, gentle or whatever. It's going to be fine. And
I mean, don't
you
get me wrong. Like, Martin loves a boss lady, but... Yeah.
But that's it.
But what?
No, there's
but.
A period. The end. Full stop.
Martin loves a boss lady.
Period. The end.
Got it. Cool. Thanks.
Just lean in, girls.
To what?
Oh my
what?
God!
Get over here.
Should we kill him now or
you don't kill him? Please.
Fine. Okay. Okay. We won't kill him.
All right. Take a long rest or take a full rest.
Thank
get it,
God. So I didn't need to swallow that entire mana potion. I just wasted it.
He told you not to, in fact, if you'll
yeah,
recall.
Yeah, I remember, but, yeah, but I can't argue that. Like, but I'm upset.
It's
Can I
fine.
Barf it out?
You yeah, you come. Yeah. Save it. All right, save it for later. Later. Okay,
oh,
so it's a mana-infused droplet. It recovers 20 anima and deals you 1 mana burn damage.
Wow.
It's a pretty good item. Hang on to that. I was so upset when you ate it. I was like, oh my
well,
god.
It was still in the vial. I barfed it up.
Yeah, exactly. You swallowed it whole. You just.
I'm keeping my trauma fuck up, though.
No, take it off.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay. You can also, you have access to healing that can remove lingering injuries here
okay.
at the Grove.
I'm adding
so.
This.
Mana passion to my number.
Okay. After a few hours of sleep, strange, furtive, crazy dreams, and a little bit to eat and drink, the group emerges from their tent, and there's a lot of festivity again, a lot of activity. The witches, several hundred women, are all gathered in groups and clusters on different, like, rock elevations and hills, but all in this big clearing, all the coven have gathered. And as you emerge from your tent, there seems to be a large contingent, maybe 150 or so of them, that shoot fucking daggers at the two of you as you emerge.
Why do they hate us already? We just got here.
The others.
Well, you did ruin.
You actually get.
Ruin what?
You get applause and thanks and the rest of the coven of 333 come to you with garlands and wreaths, potions and perfumes. Thank you, sisters. Welcome, sisters.
Okay, so like a third
Thank
of them
you.
Are fascists. Just
about a third of them seem to be pretty pissed off, and
That's
about two-thirds of them are happy with you for saving them from the infection by the glorious, the infiltration by evil, and the others are pretty pissed about the unicorn. You notice that there does seem to skew a little older versus younger here.
Mm-hmm.
The older there
Boomers
are.
Boomers wanted that unicorn blood.
You got it. Yeah.
It's the way we've always done it. Don't change things.
I needed that unicorn blood.
A huge success.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you to those who recognize our genius.
I picture
and
this
fuck
as
you to every, no.
And to those who don't, may your death be swift.
Swift.
And imminent.
And painless.
May you have the day you deserve.
Yes, go and have the day you deserve.
That does crack me up.
But I picture them Gwen walking
and Val,
out.
What did we just talk about?
I'm being very gentle.
What did I literally just say?
She said painless.
I'm being super gentle. I even have adjusted the way that I'm speaking. To acquiesce your request, Martin.
She said swift and
because I picture when like someone is coming out onto a talk show that's controversial and you have like people like screaming at them and whatever. That was in my mind.
Awesome.
In the beginning
that's
of this,
great. That's a like, good vibe for what just happened there. Yeah.
Paternity test just came back positive.
Oh, like we're the secret girlfriend the whole time. Oh, and they're like, what the fuck?
Secret girl.
We're in love! Okay?
Jerry.
Oh my god.
Jerry. All right, Melly. So yeah. Jerry Springer is here. He doesn't know how he got here, but he is here.
He's been summoned.
Where?
Has the guest of honor arrived?
Grandmother Polly, Grandmother Ingrid, and Grandmother Chloe are seated in the positions of honor as the elder trio. Mother Naramede, Miradane, and Braladine are seated in these beautiful root thrones below the like almost nest-like throne that the three eldest sit on, and they're in these like root swirls, all alive with vines and flowers growing off of it. There are lots of animals gathered here, and you realize they're all familiars. There are 333 familiars.
Todd pops out.
Oh, my people!
Yeah.
Can I fly up into the tree up there and chat with some of those gossipy hens?
Of course you can.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What happened to you? One of them looks at Todd and goes, "What the hell happened to you?"
You be nice to him.
We are being nice to him.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
The fuck did your witch do to you?
Hey, you be nice to me.
I ate an evil pie.
Whoa, sweet.
Like, all right. So they commiserate about their witches and stuff up there.
I'm going to ask Grisbell if he wants to go too.
he's already climbing the tree. Like a koala doing the hump crawl.
And then the three bears that we have in our backpacks also start climbing the
tree. They've gotten so big.
They're not familiars.
We just want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Zenithar Jr., be careful.
God, you just have three medium bears in your backpacks now. All right, there are only three fairy witches, or, you know, the fae members of the coven, Kamara, Kamoro, and Velduel, and they're sort of floating about up above, looking very perturbed and nervous about everything that's gone down. However, something has, like, clicked in place. The magic of the place before felt like a chaotic swirl, like a storm. Very powerful and potent, but like unfocused. But now with the 333rd like member, it feels like the boat has been balanced.
The power of three will set you free.
Exactly. Somehow there is now a better like weight. So it's like glass in a kaleidoscope that's like kind of clicked together into a more stable formation. So the place just feels safer and more stable. But again, that's really hard to place and sort of a sixth sense thing. Okay, so the witches are all gathered. Sisters, says Melly Etchbridge. I am Melly Etchbridge. I have returned to the coven. It is a pleasure, a true honor to be among my sisters again. And today, we meet with King Allfeel of the Revelwood. He has also suffered at the hands of the glorious and their nefarious schemes.
Boo. Sorry.
This isn't a participant.
No, it's okay.
Boo-boo.
Yes. Martin, one of our guests, has seen these creatures evil firsthand and has slain not one but two of their number.
Attaboy.
At terrible cost to he and his lovers.
Hi, I'm Martin.
And I sit back down.
Their bravery should stand as an example for all of us. these brave lovers. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I love all you guys. It just goes over Martin's head.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We will now entreat with all feel on steps forward. We all have seen with our own eyes what these creatures have done to our standing stones of stillness to the west. Warped and twisted them for their own nefarious purposes. What nightmares brew within the Briar Tower where our lost sister now resides? This cannot stand. Further, information has come to us through our familiars that on the northwestern side of the Grimwood, Crownland armies now gather in force. The full might of Deladridorn, the Queen in Glass, and Bevel Kalasterhoff of Alembria have now gathered in response to the aggressions and murders committed by the Queen of Spite and her wicked ilk.
Yay!
Martin, shut the fuck up.
Sorry.
Violence and war may yet come to our wood.
Boo.
You don't need to participate.
He thinks it's Monday Night Raw.
But sister, it will take them months, years to make their way through the Grimwood. Our defenses, monsters, trolls, and ancient spells will whittle their contingent to nothing, grind them to dust, and then the wicked Crownlands will suffer our reprisal. Do not think these humans to be so short-sighted as that. They are led by those of Eldblood. They are not going to attack the wood without a plan. The fact that they have gathered in such numbers is no mere show of force. They mean to attack the Grimwood and have their revenge on the Queen of Spite. And we could very well be caught in the crossfire. We must head off this tragedy before it occurs.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
Is the Q&A portion happening?
Yes. Thank you, Gwen. New.
Hi, Gwen.
I have been part of the coven for 3 hours. And,
just an old woman reaches over and gives your hand a nice friendly squeeze.
Thank you.
You're
my
doing
gosh.
Great,
thank you so
dear.
Much. What a welcome.
You're doing fine. Yes. Speak with your heart, darling.
Thank you.
Don't be nervous.
Every time she starts.
Yeah. Well, these are all different women. They're too supportive.
Thank you, sisters.
Go ahead.
You got this.
So many different. There's hundreds of witches here. All of them who think they're the main character of the like supportive, like goodly witch story. I love it.
Okay, I'm gonna start now. Okay?
Yes, no one's stopping you.
Where's my fucking shit?
Shh.
Okay.
Speak from the heart, dear. We already said that. Alright, we'll let you.
Okay. Question. Do we know who is leading the human faction of this army? The human army?
According to our spies and familiars, King Dem of Deladridorn and Queen Bevel of Alembria lead the armies themselves. Powerful warriors drenched in mystical armaments. No ifs, ands, or buts. This could bring horrific chaos to the Grimwood.
Thank you. That sounds bad.
Yes. This is why we will discuss with Allfield next steps. Specifically, this group of, shall I call you adventurers, heroes?
Yeah, adventurers.
Yeah, that's nice.
I like the H word, personally.
Okay. These heroes...
The H word.
Seek to save our sister in the mystic arts by the name of Zell, she of long hair. One of the damsels has been located, taken captive in the Briar Tower.
they will set her free, and her wisdom, might, and magic could be very much what we need to stop the violence and begin our world on a path to healing. They have put their very souls on the line. As you can see, they are drenched in the darkness of sacred curses, making them immune to the control and corruption of the glorious, so that they may do battle with them. And if they were brave enough to put their souls on the line for such a task, we must support that sort of bravery. I am sure King Allfeel will feel the same.
Thank you. I mean, that was amazing. Thank you. Wow. What a... No, no pressure. What a low pressure, low stakes situation this is. I love it. Is he here already?
Our honored guest approaches.
Oh, God.
Okay, remember what we talked about.
Shut. Be aggressive.
No. Does the horn only blare if they're...
Thrice.
The third one means means bad.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks. Very, very good.
Yes, I remember these smells.
God,
the cauldrons are brewing.
This feels rude.
The trees themselves part. A 30-foot tall sphere of golden skin, like covered in like the finest oils and perfumes.
And no clothes.
His massive shoulders covered in thick, coarse hair, braided and gemmed with the finest of jewels. His crown of horns clustered atop his head, simply dripping with rubies and emeralds and all manner of like cornucopia fruit dangling down from it's like he has a horn of plenty for a crown. Massive beast legs like that of an enormous goat, whose hooves sizzle as they touch the ground, leaving scorch marks in the hoof prints behind him, and just the most enormous spherical belly carved with brands and tattoos of all types, and lumbers into view. This thing is a demigod of revelry and joy. Just looking at him floods you with serotonin and like...
And dopamine?
And, well, not as much dopamine, just mostly serotonin. We learned what the difference is. We every once in a while Google stuff together.
We learned how to Google.
We Googled it together. So the mighty Allfeel lumbers into view. His entourage is very small. A couple of centaurs, a few satyrs, and then these four adventurers. An enormous man covered from head to toe in tattoos, red and white, like streaked hair, a beautiful square head, like weathered nicely with age, massive battle axes strapped to his back in an X position. An older woman with wise and kind eyes who seems to leave like a trail of stardust behind her wherever she walks. Cool. In like blue and like soft white robes. A man who just looks like just some guy with a handlebar mustache.
Just the lead just singer of LCD Sound System.
The lead singer of LCD Sound System.
Yep. You, James Murphy?
Yeah, hey, what's up? So, yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
I mean...
yeah, so,
hey, I'm walking in!
Although he moves with, like, an uncanny grace, and a floppy-eared, hoppity little bunny with just every musical instrument. He looks like a one-man band sort of situation.
He had to be a bard.
Yippity skippity, here comes Allfeel!
Oh my god.
He's so cute.
He's really cute.
Cambion, is the king a demon?
It's a demigod, a satyr, faun, centaur,
Primal.
Shh. Primal just beast. Rest. You rest. Primal. Okay.
He's so hot.
Fuck him. Oh, okay. You rest. Shh.
Yeah, he has that like extremely big belly, but also huge muscles of like a heavy, like a weightlifter, like a
strongman.
Strongman, like Olympic weightlifter. The mighty beast King Allfeel lumbers through the forest.
Well, well, down there. There they are. So much I've heard about you.
Hi, I'm Martin.
Woo, Martin. Queen Loveline of the Fairies. And Senator Brisbane the Wizard. And Gwendolyn Evangeline Clute. Who almost ate my little brother out of house and home. He was so fond of you and you, Valeriana.
Was, so he already knows.
He was so pleased to meet you. He sends me a letter every few weeks. I am very interested to hear how he is. Is he among the folk survivors from Thistleberry Hollow? We've received word of the attack. Please, first I must know of my brother.
Don't be mad.
Your royal large... formidableness.
Ooh, I like that. From now on,
he says, turning to the rabbit,
from now on, I am to be known as his large royal formidableness.
Yes.
Yes, I like that quite a lot.
You are quite right about many things recently here in the wood.
That's what I like to hear.
And
his ears are
flickering. You're doing great.
Unfortunately, you're quite right about this attack.
Yes.
And we lost many, many people in this attack.
Out with it.
Son, okay. He's still smiling, but there is like a weird little crack in his demeanor.
Pauline, do you have the wig? Yeah, hand me the wig. Trust me, give me the wig. Yeah, okay, bye.
This crinkled... blonde wig with a few spatters of blood on it comes out of
I just
effect.
Look up at him and tears start streaming down my face and I hand him the wig. I offer him the wig.
He reaches down and pinches it with, you know, it's so small and delicate in his fingers. He, you know, picks it up towards his face.
So ashamed was he. I never understood why he ran from pleasure.
I mean, I think he discovered that he ran toward pleasure, just a different kind of pleasure than maybe we expected him to run to. But we met him recently, and we immediately so fond of him.
Oh, yeah.
Good guy.
We loved him like one of our own. He was so hospitable and so warm, and, you know, I think he wasn't ashamed. I think he was a little scared at first to be himself, and that's why he loved his wig so much. But as we got to know him, he got less scared, and he realized how many friends he has and how many people love him. And I think he went on to the next life so brave and confident, and he finally knew who he was, and he was living out his dreams.
Yes, a quiet, quiet bravery.
He enjoyed the warmth of the hearth rather than the searing of a brand. I suppose perhaps we all love the fire in our own ways.
And then just like the sky has gotten a little darker, and there's just this sort of hum underneath the earth.
Who killed my brother?
It was Kel. Under the water. After she identified him as one of yours.
She speaks the truth. Oh, Lord, Royal Formidable One.
Okay.
Pump back. Okay.
Though it pained my heart. lightly bent the knee to that spiteful whore, and she still kills my brother. Why did I give up the fight? Why did I bend the knee if my own blood could still spill? This will not go unanswered.
We agree.
Yeah, we're here to answer the call.
Things just might be a little bit more complicated in some ways than we thought. So we'd love to maybe have a slightly more private chat with you about what intel we have that we think might be valuable, and what intel you have that we may find valuable, and maybe, you know, joining forces to bring justice to your brother and to all of the lands that are under siege and threat by the Glorious.
You're here.
I need a moment to compose myself.
Take your time. I'm gonna hand him a tissue, but it's like a Gwen size.
He totally like takes it as delicately as he can and dabs at his mighty tears.
It disappears under one.
It disintegrates into the mighty tears.
All the time.
He sort of like turns and like saunters into the forest just a ways. The trees shake, a few of them crack in a few spots.
Just give him a minute. Give him a minute.
The witch's eyes are all like bugged out of their heads.
Well, that went well.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got righteous anger, which is going to be very useful.
So the witches, though, don't want a war because they fear that they'll get caught in the crossfire.
Correct, which is why I want this to be a more private conversation.
I am afraid, Melly Etchbridge says, that the coven keeps no secrets among the sisters.
I'm not keeping secrets.
If you wish to take a gauge as to whether or not they wish violent action to be taken, I would say that only a third or so are amenable to fighting against the Fae or the humans. However, the witches do not need to act as a monolith. We are free to do as we wish of our own accord. You are responsible to your sisters, but not shackled to them.
So I feel like when this comes out, because it will, and we can open the floor to volunteers. It's not a draft. It's a volunteer situation. If you want to join us, great. If you don't, we can't force you to do it.
If you wish to take the Briar Tower by direct force...
We need them all?
We need as many as we can get. The entire coven's magic bent together, maybe at the height of our power, could breach the Briar Tower. As we are, the likelihood would not be good that even the entire coven could get you into the Briar Tower, and regardless, we would take tremendous losses. However, with Allfeel and his army, or his own power or secret knowledge, perhaps it would be much more doable, but...
What about the other two human armies?
You wish to join forces with the Groundlanders?
They're attacking the Briar Tower, right?
Well, I believe that they are positioned in such a way that were they to breach the Grimwood, yes, they would come upon the Briar Tower before they reached Castle Ire.
At least, whether it's a pretense or not, their stated objective is retaliation for Thistleberry, right?
One could only assume they have not sent missives or explanations for their action.
But there's no particular reason to think that they're going to attack Candlewood or Revelwood.
Only in that we are partially between them and Castle Ire itself.
And they assume that they're... Well, they'll need resistance, but what if they didn't?
What if they... Interesting. Perhaps we could get word to them, although I must say that blood runs foul between the Crownlanders and everyone in the Grimwood.
I mean, is there even any...
A new threat, though.
Yeah.
And the Queen of Spite has gone far beyond anything that any of us would find conscionable, attacking the satellite villages, attempting to curse their people. We have still not put together what exactly that blood magic ritual you interrupted was trying to do, but suffice it to say, I believe that the Queen of Spite's goal was far beyond the outskirts of the Grimwood. I believe that whatever ritual you interrupted would have had much more catastrophic effects had it not been thwarted.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty unifying threat. I think we can sell it, man.
Are you so okay
just,
with that?
So we just avoid Bevel and Dem? Like, oh, what? This is fucked up.
Lovely.
Are you insane?
It'd be a hell of a distraction if they're getting attacked by two human kingdoms and the Revelwood and the Witch's Coven.
Except for that's not why he's really here. He probably already knows I'm here. That's why he's at the border.
He almost certainly does.
So,
if he already knows that you're here, shouldn't we use him, lose him, abuse him, and lose him?
What if, I hate to say it, but couldn't we use Lavaline as bait?
Okay, that's too far. That's not where I was going with it.
Well, it's what I suggest.
I realize you're suggesting that, but I just mean if he knows you're here, we're not going to like dangle you in front of him. But that's too much. But what are we supposed to do? Flee? Like, wouldn't we want... Okay, I understand that impulse.
Yes.
But we can't flee until we rescue your daughter, and we need a way inside the tower. And our choices right now are either
gather the
make
forces
something
of everyone
out of these new developments, or enter into a contract with...
Mr. Styx,
or... I don't know, we don't even really think we can do it with just Nottagaster, do we?
Not anymore. I think that ship sailed.
I think you should betray my brother. That's what I think. I think you should make a deal with him and then betray him immediately. Yes. Yes, tell him you will give him what he wants, and then we go murder him afterwards.
Okay.
Oh yeah, do you guys remember what he wants?
Just he wants to be privacy. Able to hear us. Our privacy forever.
Just your
he wants
privacy.
To live stream our lives to
I'm not doing it. Way too many news out there. I give you enough. World.
I mean, you don't think a distraction of that magnitude would help us get in to rescue your daughter?
You must ask yourself how much you actually wish to rescue your offspring, Lavaline.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Okay, as a sister, sister to sister.
Yes, sister.
You gotta back off of her. You're not wrong, just an asshole.
I think we've kind of agreed, like, throughout this whole process that it's kind of Lavaline's call.
Somehow that made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, no pressure.
Some pressure, though, because, like, he's...
Thank you so much for giving me a moment to collect myself.
Of course. I wish there's more we could do to support you.
Yeah, big guy.
Perhaps there is, little friends. Perhaps there is.
What do you propose?
I'm listening.
Well, as you can see, I have brought heroes out of retirement. These four are storied veterans of your trade, and I release them from my keeping. And they may now do as they wish. And they have expressed to me an urgent desire to reach back into the fray. And so, to that end, I offer you one betrayal for another. My heart burns to betray my word, but I will tell you something that is true. Kel Under the Water seeks a new mount with a small hunting party. party in the Swamp of Sorrows, just outside of the Sacred Grove. Among her number is the middle daughter of the Queen of Spite herself, Chasisa.
Oh, shit.
So,
are you... Basically unguarded and unknown, she hides among a guise of mimic flesh, hidden among the hunting hounds of Kel.
So you're suggesting we kidnap this daughter and trade?
I can say no more to counsel you on this fact. I have already damned myself by saying what I have.
Do you... You said she is disguised in mimic flesh. Do you know what she looks like now?
If I recall, and I did do a little bit of research when she killed my previous incarnation, Molly Edgebridge said. Because remember, Kel also killed Molly Marrow, mm-hmm. or her previous body yeah. at least. Mm-hmm. Kel travels with hunting hounds. This is a euphemism. They are broken, ravaged ghouls and tortured souls that hunt as her, like a pack. And I have heard that the middle daughter of the Queen of Spite wishes to become a Fey Knight. It makes sense that she would wish to shadow Kel. So somewhere among these creatures that she uses to hunt is hidden one of the daughters of Spite.
How do you feel about that idea, Lavalie?
Just a little kidnapping?
Mm-hmm. I feel that seems like a better way in.
Well, let's play that out. So let's say we're able to capture the middle child. Then what's the plan?
We just march right up to the door and say,
hostage exchange?
Hey, Goob, we've got your daughter.
Yes, it would seem to be some sort of a hostage exchange then.
They do it all the time in the movies.
The what?
I don't know
what that means.
I don't either. I don't know where that came from. Oh, yeah, Martin gets it.
But to what end, though? We get Lavalian's daughter and, like, fuck all those other girls? They can just rot in the tower?
She's got a point, too.
That you will, to complete your objective for the Guild of Heroes, you will need to exchange for Zell and Lavalian's daughter.
And even then, all that does is put the Glorious and the Briar Witch behind schedule for whatever ritual they hope to be able to complete with all of that old blood. But maybe that's a problem for another day.
Yes,
you know how we love kicking the can.
There's a pile of cans waiting for us down that road, and it's not looking good.
Listen.
Do we know for sure that the Queen of Spite would trade one daughter for two?
A little two for one?
People.
Two definitely for? Don't know for sure. Do we have any reason to think that could possibly be the case?
No, I mean, would anyone have a deeper knowledge of the Queen of Spite and how she treats her family? Mm. Have any indication?
In my experience, she loves her daughters as she loves herself.
Oh.
As extensions of herself. She has felled whole kingdoms within the Grimwood simply to sate their desires. One of them infiltrates the very dreams of life and soul across the realms for sadistic games in a dollhouse built from nightmares. Check the Patreon content.
We have, like, a collective shared tinge of remembrance yep. of something.
Yep. Some sort of Patreon.
In the land of Pitron.
Okay. Well, that makes it sound like
more
she'd
doable.
Definitely be worth two.
That almost makes it sound like she'd be worth all of them.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, we've got to... Yeah, we asked for more, and yeah. then we negotiated it down to two.
Either way, perhaps there's a way to draw the Crownlanders to the Briar Tower directly after the exchange has been made and use them to destroy the wretched place. We tell them that Eldblood daughters are being gathered there. The king and queen of the two most powerful Eldblood kingdoms in the realms might see that as an excellent goal.
Worth a try?
This will, however, mean that we need to get word to them and send it via a courier that they could possibly believe. The wicked Fae use all manner of tricks and deception. We need to find a way to tell them this in a way that they will believe it, or let them learn it on their own so that they will see truth in it.
So, we are now discussing a courier to get them to help destroy the tower after we've left.
Well, not if we don't need to. Not if you're going with my plan, the first plan, the modified version of my plan, the infiltration plan.
Okay, just zip it.
I'm sorry, did I hear infiltration? Says the man with the handlebar mustache. Come again, there's an infiltration somewhere?
We could try.
What's your deal?
Well, if you're talking about a heist, kidnapping, and hostage taking, I'm sorry, I know that I was supposed to take a back burner to this whole thing. Vola Verl the Leaning is my name, and I am a rogue extraordinaire. I am the finest cat burglar, robber, and ransomer in the kingdoms, and I am coming out of retirement as of this moment, officially, right now, because this is all very exciting to me, and I would like to help.
Well, you definitely seem out. Anyway,
here's the thing. Why just do one plan? Do we're all the plans.
Gwen just falls head over heels for it.
I just think he's great. I'm really excited that he's come out of retirement.
Why just do one plan?
Yes.
Why not do all the plans?
Yes.
One team infiltrates the tower. Another team assassinates Kel and sweeps away the princess, while a third party brings the Crownlanders in to attack. It's a triple scoop.
Triple scoop.
Yeah, triple scoop sounds good.
That
I love how he's really
that
selling
classic
it.
Classic Danny Ocean move of the triple scoop.
You son of a bitch.
Martin's eating a shrimp cocktail, yeah, yeah. Like aggressively.
Okay,
while this is happening.
So actually, I'm gonna
folded inside of a cash box being pushed.
Yeah, you're. Why are you
she's
the one? Because yeah. You have the highest agility.
Yeah, Martin could literally transform us
into
it.
The cash box.
I'm
that you get inside of.
Oh my god. Martin, can I get back in your mouth, buddy?
Nice team,
oh, why does it have to be his mouth?
You know you have an open invitation in my mouth.
Martin, is there any member of the party or cast that you don't have sexual tension with?
I don't
who
know.
Knew
yeah.
that a young blonde amnesiac would be swooning so many people? Oh, Cloud. He's Cloud Strife. Oh, that's what happened.
It's because you can do anything into me.
Both literally, yes. Emotionally, yeah, he's just open for business.
That's great.
And totally innocent and sweet.
That's his great. Emotional hole is open, so to speak.
When to be feared.
All right, so Vorla Verl, the leading.
A triple scoop. You plan A, attack Kel in the Swamp of Sorrows and steal the princess away from her. If plan A succeeds or plan A fails at the same time, plan B is underway. Plan B sends a group to the Sacred Grove to entreat with the Crownlanders and send their armies directed at the Briar Tower. And then the two parties meet back up, either negotiating a hostage situation and an infiltration, or scrapping plan A, diving directly into an infiltration plan to assassinate the Briar Witch and save the princesses kept within, using Mr. Styx's ill-gotten magic as the key.
Cool. God damn it, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
When you put it that way,
quote.
It's hard
so,
to resist.
So, the whiteboard in front of you has a lot of red lines.
So much red
and, like,
string.
So, like, red string, and the plan makes sense. Hit them on multiple fronts, and if tasks fail, there's always a cascading backup option, the very last of which is just a direct, like, infiltration attack on the Briar Tower, and if that all fails, hopefully the Crownlanders will be able to destroy whatever plan is launched within.
I mean, it looks good. I mean, you know what they say, though. Yeah, mice make plans, and God laughs at them.
So
I've never heard that in my life.
I've never heard that.
That's the expression.
Is it?
Zenitor,
because of mice.
I believe that you believe that.
That's really weird. I don't like it.
It's staring at the map, and what's that called? Is it furrow your brow?
Yes, furrowing. Yeah,
furrowing his brow. I still think Styx's price is too high.
Well, you know how to get out of a deal?
No, how?
Murder.
Okay.
All right, I didn't hear that.
I don't care if you did.
I don't want to be party to any betrayal of any.
Even if that's the plan, we'd have to organize how plan our attack on him while he can see every moment of us.
Well, I think we can just make a plan before we sign the deal.
So betray him and murder him during the infiltration?
Yeah, accidents happen all the time. All's fair in love and war.
He is still in the room.
No.
No, he's not.
Not a Gaster's in the room.
Not a Gaster's in the room.
That's his little brother.
And that Gaster is totally
slit that bastard's throat.
See?
Yeah, he'll never make it out of the Briar Tower alive.
But if we fail, if we come at him and don't end it, then he's going to have a new reason to hate us and the power to spy on us in anything we do. And if, you know, right now, we're Farital's, at least as far as we know, we're Farital's best hope against the Glorious.
I'd like to offer you a Zenitor response.
Please do, Gwen.
That's a tomorrow problem.
I personally don't see a scenario where we fail.
Thank you. Love that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but
Zenitor, I completely agree with your assessment of the situation.
You would.
My only addendum is that if we are able to save Zell, She of Long Hair, we are no longer the bloody edge of this conflict than she is. We have just given our side an incredible weapon that's much more useful and powerful than we are. Hopefully that'll help us solve that other problem.
Loveline, what do you think?
I was willing to accept his price for the begin with. But it is worth pointing out, this isn't just about my daughter. Gotta rescue the damsel.
And hopefully rescuing the damsel leads us quickly to the other damsels, and before you know it, we have the most powerful people in all of Farital on our side.
Who's in? Hands in. Let all three plans on three.
Triple scoop on three.
I'll follow Lavaline on this. I'm in.
All right.
One, two, three.
Triple scoop.
Lavaline?
Yes, we're doing the three plans.
Woo!
All right.
Wow, that's way too much enthusiasm for
something that's almost certain to get.
Let's kidnap and infiltrate everybody.
Listen, I had a good run. Let's do this.
Also, at least two of the plans are so morally dubious.
That's okay. Did anyone hear that? Sounds like a giant dragonfly.
Funny.
Or a purring cat.
Why not both?
Dragonfly cat. You say.
Where's that coming from? Does anyone?
Everyone feels a strange rattle in their chest. Somewhere deep down, a primal fear, older even than the fear of the dark, prickles up like a little ember in your heart.
Don't like that.
The temperature seems to raise. Your hair stands on end. The sky turns red for a moment.
Does no one know what this is? I know what this is.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Enlighten me.
That's a fucking dragon.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Those are real?
Oh, yeah.
Would we have any... would we know that that's what that was?
I remember... this can be an aside. When we were in the tree underground and we fought those beetles, I distinctly remember that I did a roll to see if I would remember like stories about this
from
Grandma Nin.
Yeah, you know, you heard lots of stories about
dragons.
Because
I thought it was a dragon.
Mm-hmm. And they were dragon beetles.
But they were dragon beetles.
With a similar sort of energy.
I wasn't totally wrong, but I feel like
Gwen
it's established that Gwen
would
know.
Begins to sweat and says the words that all people fear. Dragon. And certainly the air is dry. And the rumble that cuts through a bass unlike any other that slips through all of the atoms in existence right through your hearts and then back out again. And then suddenly the red tinge in the sky is gone and the heat is gone and that strange fear snuffs out slowly but leaves a strange acrid like taste in the back of your mouth.
I don't know who that dragon is with, but this is not good.
Oh, no. Probably nothing, right?
It's going to be really bad. Like, rubs his, like, sweaty palms at his side.
Is there a dragon, like, a known dragon in the area?
There is a dragon in the Grimwood. But it is not a dragon of flame. It is a dragon of the deep earth, and it is asleep. Or we would all have felt the ground torn asunder. When the Grimwood Dragon awakes, there will be an earthquake. The sky was red. Heat and fire. Rumbles from the north.
Is there a dragon with the human armies?
Or is it a friendly dragon?
Have the human armies like, attracted a dragon?
Like Pete?
Puff?
Must send someone to investigate this occurrence. But if the human armies were just wiped out by a dragon, or have attracted the wrath of a dragon.
I'm sorry, I have to. Yeah, Lava was like, yeah, it's fine.
Or have attracted or awoken a dragon, we must know. We will have to split our forces. Decide amongst yourselves who will go to the sacred grove, and who will head to the swamp of sorrows?
I'll go to the sacred grove. There's a dragon. I'd be fascinated.
You would. I'm going to the swamp.
I will not be going to the sacred grove, so.
I'll go to the sacred grove.
Hopefully, there are no ogres who like Smash Mouth there.
Get out of my swamp!
Those are terrifying.
Hey there, you're an all-star.
Oh, now I have to put giant green ogres in the swamp.
Don't
of Zorro's.
You dare put Shreks of Zorro's.
Shreks!
Shreks of sorrow. I'm so sad, donkey.
I'm gonna fucking kill myself, no! Donkey!
Alright, Val?
Yeah, Val's gonna go to the grove.
Very good. We will rally our forces. We will make sure that no group is too small, and then we shall strike back at the Queen of Spite and her glorious companions.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now.
God damn
it. Got a real jam going now, welcome to the stage.
Why? Why Space Jam? Why not any other song about, like, getting up and doing something?
All right.
Why not any, like,
throw your hands in the air if you feel fine.
Stop dancing, Josh!
Over time, to the Space Jam.
All right. Well... Well, time to be
time to be
that old
on.
Dusty trail. So, to follow, quest one, Swamp of Sorrows, quest two, the Sacred Grove, and then quest three, where all the parties will meet back up again, the Briar Tower.
Yeah.
Princess Bitterbell, third, no, now second daughter of the Queen of Spite, hunched her back and growled low under her breath. The illusion had held so far, but she still needed to play her part. The magic binding her flesh into the shape of one of Kell's hunting ghouls was powerful, but the knight was notoriously perceptive, and even a little slip would end Bitterbell's journey. Kell under the waters was terrifying. Even though she was a loyal knight of the Fey Royal Guard, getting on her bad side was not something Bitter wanted. Still, she was a brutal taskmaster to her hounds, flogging them at even the smallest provocation with tangled lash of barbed vines. Unlike the other ghouls, Bitterbell's gray, calloused hide was just for show, and each strike stung with terrible, shocking, acidic pain. No matter, it will be worth it. Kell's whistle cut through the fog ahead. She was summoning the pack. Hand over hand, legs pushing through the thick mire, Bitterbell and the other ghoul hounds sprinted on webbed hands across the swamp. There was a thunderous crash and a spray of mud and water ahead. Through the fog, Bitterbell saw two shapes fling away from one another after a massive collision. As the fog cleared, Kell came into view, scaled plate glinting dully in the low light. Skidding across the top of the muddy water, the spear of invasion braced in a crossguard. The Kelpie she had tracked down and she had traded blows moments before, but the air still rang with the shock of their meeting. The massive water elemental that ever followed Kell had not yet recovered its full scope. It now writhed behind her in the shape of a watery eel, its currents dark and wild. Apparently, an elder wizard had evaporated it earlier in some battle. Though Bitterbell wanted very much to hear about the goings-on of the kingdom, the battles its knight fought, she was denied, tested, and trained endlessly. The Kelpie oozed, dripped, and writhed in every way it could. The body of a massive, muscled mare, riddled with scales and barnacles. This specimen had a coil of snakes for a tail and a dozen pythons for a mane. It spit blood defiantly and gnashed its teeth. Kell let a sharp whistle out again. The sound skidded in a U across the water, directing the path she wanted her hounds to travel. Loop left, Harriet's flank, attack the back legs, the whistle sounded. Bitter Blossom's heart thudded in her chest, looking at the heavy, crushing bludgeons of the massive monster's hooves. But there was no time to hesitate. The pack was already moving, and Kell demanded perfect, fearless loyalty. So in she went, fake claws and teeth snapping out at the Kelpie's legs. In the same moment, the Kelpie lashed back, exploding the skull of the ghoul next to her. Kell shot forward, her spear whirling like a hurricane, striking a dozen blows along the Kelpie's side in the blink of an eye. The Kelpie snake snapped out dangerously, spraying venom in an acrid cloud. Kell shifted back, her whirling spear dipped into the water, her elemental clung to the haft, picked up and spun in a whirling geyser, the force snapping the snake's bones and sweeping away their venom. The massive equine beast screeched in a decidedly non-horse-like fashion and bucked forward. The thick plate of its brow connected with Kell's grip on the spear and sent it and the whirling elemental flinging off into the air. Kell's guard was broken. The Kelpie's teeth snapped inches from her neck. Bitter Blossom shocked herself by sinking her teeth into the Kelpie's flank. A shock of pain, a moment of hesitation. The Kelpie's teeth closed short of their target. Kell's gauntleted hands snapped onto either side of the horrid beast's neck. Crack! Crack! The beast fell dead in an eruption of water, muck, and blood. Kell scoffed angrily and muttered something under her breath.
I'll find one with a stronger neck.
This was the third Kelpie they had found, and this one, too, she found wanting. Kell patted disguised Bitter on top of her imitation ghoulish head. It wasn't exactly affectionate, but it was still surprising.
Good girl,
she said. Then she kicked the side of the dead Kelpie.
Eat up.
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knutson.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod, and check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.